will be the new tradition. Every time that I will come, I will just say buenos dias. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you this morning. I was talking with my wife that there's two reasons that we always love to come here to Weiser Lake Chapel. Number one, because we love you, because we love this church, we love Pastor Nathan. But the second one, it is because we love Texas Roadhouse. So, wow. When I was driving with my wife, the first time he's like, wow, Texas Roadhouse, we need to stop there. Just kidding. It's a privilege and honor to be here with you this morning. Thank you because you are always very welcoming. You are very friendly. I literally love this church. And I invite you this morning to open your Bibles in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 47 to 50. 47 to 50. This is the parable of the net. Matthew 13, verses 47 to 50. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kind of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in basket, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the weak from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this privilege and honor to be here with my friends, with my family in Christ. Weiser Lake Chapel, thank you so much for their lives. Thank you so much for this morning. And Lord, this week was very hard. And my hope, my prayer is that you can bring hope to our hearts, to our communities, to our families. Lord, help us. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 13, it's a very special chapter of the scripture. It's often called by the theologians the chapter of the parables of the kingdom. In this chapter, we found seven parables. Many of you are very familiar with them. The parables of the sower, the parable of the hidden treasure. This morning, it's about the parable of the net. Matthew 13, it's a chapter where Jesus already finished the Sermon on the Mount. And he's along with his disciples. And he's having a special time with his disciples about instruction. And if you read Matthew 12, you will see that it's epic, like the Bible, because in Matthew 12, there were the Pharisees, they were the tax collectors, they were Jesus' disciples, and the sinners. And all people, they were gathering there, and it was like, what are you talking about, Jesus? The Pharisees, they were upset. They actually declared that Jesus was Satan. The tax collectors were there, and they said, like, do you like me? I'm the tax collector. Because, of course, nobody likes the tax collectors. And the disciples, they were still there. They were like, yeah, I'm following Jesus, but I don't understand what Jesus is talking about. I like him, but I don't understand. Like, they had a lot of questions. So the crowds are large. The response of Jesus are different. Some they believe, some they have questions. Some of the people hate Jesus' message. So we need to remember first a little bit, what is the purpose of the parables? And we found the purpose of the parables in this chapter, Matthew 13, but in verse 10 and 11. And Jesus say, well, the disciples first say, why do you speak to people in parables? And Jesus say, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Who is Jesus talking about not to them? The Pharisees. Then Jesus continued in verses 13 and 14, this is why I speak in parables, because seeing, they don't see. Thought hearing, they don't hear or understand. In them is the fulfilled prophecy of Isaiah. You will ever hear him, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Jesus was very against the religious hypocrisy of that time. Jesus was upset with the Pharisees because they are the teachers of the law, and they were the first. It was supposed to be the first one to say, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are here. But no. Actually, they reject Jesus. They hate Jesus. And Jesus was attacking the Pharisees. But then in chapter 13, after the Sermon on the Mount finished, he's in a time with his disciples, and the intention was, let me tell you more about the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you more about my kingdom. This kingdom is not about this world. This is not about politics. This is not about power. This is not about, like, even religion. This is my kingdom. And my kingdom is different. So Jesus is using these parables, this illustration, these analogies, that their disciples can understand how the kingdom of God works. How is the character of this king? Is this king benevolent? Is this king merciful? Or this king, it's like our politicians in today, like that they are aggressive and they are grumpy and they are upset and they are rude. Or what kind of people can belong to this kingdom? Is everyone welcome to this kingdom? Or you need to belong to some heritage in order to believe to this kingdom, to be part of this kingdom? How can anyone, how one can become part of this kingdom? How is this king related to these people? So that's the purpose of the parables. He's describing the kingdom of God. He's describing that kingdom that doesn't work like our kingdoms today. You know, I'm from Mexico. If you ask me, David, how's Mexico? Well, I will say Mexico is beautiful. It's colorful. We eat a lot of tortillas. We have a president. Her name is Claudia Sheinbaum. I pray for her. No comments. I pray for her. We have Cancun. Many of you know Cancun. We have Puerto Vallarta and Cabo. Beautiful places, beautiful cities. I'm describing my country. Well, Jesus is describing his kingdom. And the disciples, they were a little bit like confused because it's like, well, we were thinking that your kingdom is like the Roman Empire. You are going to come and kill people and be very rude and you are going to destroy it. And Jesus says, no, I'm not like them. My kingdom is not like that, like in the earth kingdoms. So first of all, through this parable, I want just to touch three things. Three things this morning. The first one, it is the mission of the church. The second one, it is the nature of the church. And number three, the destiny of the church. So three things this morning. Number one, the mission of the church. The nature of the church. Number three, the destiny of the church. First one, the mission of the church, verses 47. It says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kind of fishes. So a commentarist, theologian, say, D.A. Carson, professor of New Testament, say that, of course, the net is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this net need to be let throw to all the whole world without discrimination. That is the task and the mission of the church. We have a mission that is make disciples, explain to people the gospel, bring people to faith. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, in the same gospel, in verse 19, said, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So, a little bit of context. When Jesus is using this illustration of the parable of the net, he's very intentional to use the parable of a fisherman. Because they were fishers. The disciples, they were fishers. They know very clear how it is the vocation of fishing. They know very well how many hours do you need to spend under the sun. They know very well the complication that is to throw the net. They know very well how it is go back to the shore and start making the classification between the good fish that you can eat and the ones that it's like, this is not great. Jesus is very intentional using this illustration because they want to tell him, they want to tell to their disciples, the net is the gospel. The fish are the people. Your mission, your call as my disciple is to spread the gospel around the world. Let me give you an example. My wife and I, we love to go to Bass Pro Shops. We love that store. And I confess that I'm not the most outdoor. I like to go for a hike. I love fishing. You know, I grew up in front of the Gulf of Mexico. Mexico Gulf, Mexico. And we grew up fishing. So I love to go to Bass Pro Shop, but the interesting thing is, if you go to Bass Pro Shop, you will see that all the people look the same. Do you ever thought about that? There are people in boots, jeans, and they look like, oh, these people work doing fishing. These people, like, do hunting. These people, they like this store because they get their stuff, their provisions, you know? Well, what Jesus is doing, it is, let me teach you about the kingdom with something that you can understand, fishing. And I know that there are so many people here that loves fishing. So Jesus is saying, yeah, the fish are people. The net is the gospel. You are called to spread the net around the world, the gospel, to all people. And the verse 47 say, all kind of fish. All kind of fish. What is saying this, Jesus? What is the purpose of Jesus saying this to the disciple? Well, first of all, he's describing his kingdom. Jesus is not saying, in order to belong to this kingdom, I will create ARS. And you need to pay taxes to belong to this kingdom. No. To belong to this kingdom, you need to accept your call that one of the greatest business of this kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is evangelism. God is calling to people, disciples, to spread the gospel around the world. Dear friends, verse 47 say that we need to spread the gospel to all kind of fish, all kind of people, all kind of ethnicity, nationality, tradition, political view. You and I, dear friends, are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in our places. God has brought you to Linden, Bellingham, Ferndale, Washington State, Whatcom County, to preach the gospel to people, to your neighbors, to your friends, at school, if you are retired with your friends, if you teach with your students, if you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend with your girlfriend or boyfriend. Dear friend, you and I, we need to embrace through this parable, understanding the mission of the church is bring hope to the world. I'm the youth director of my church. I may confess that this week was very hard with the youth in my congregation. Many of the young people, they love Charles Kirk. And it was a little bit hard that they were very sad. They were frustrating. Many people even, they agree with him or disagree, but they were sad to see that. And when I read this parable, it's a reminder that their call and my call is to bring hope to this dark world, to the darkness of this world. Some of the young people in my church, they say like, this world is getting dark. It's getting very dark. It's always been like that. We just remember a few days ago, 9/11. It's always been dark. It's always been a mess. It's always been dark and difficult. Dear friends, our call, the call that this king is giving to people, it is, no, I don't want your money. I don't want your tax. I don't want your house. I don't want your food. I want that you can bring hope to people, to your neighbors. No matter if they are Hispanics, no matter if they are white, or they are black, or they are Asian, or they are Mexicans. It says, verse 47, all kind of fish, all kind of people. The gospel is hope for all the people around the world. So, dear friends, God is calling us to embrace the business of the kingdom, evangelism. Share with someone about Christ. My question to you this morning, and this question, it is not about you to feel you uncomfortable. It is, when was the last time that you shared with someone about Jesus? When was the last time that you said to someone, hey, I just want to say that God loves you. Hey, you're welcome in my church if you want to come. No rush, but if you want to come to my church, actually, you are very welcome to come. When was the last time, dear friends, that you say to someone, come to my church. We are going to love you. We are going to take care of you. Wise Art Lake Chapel is for people. It's for everyone. And this need to bring to our hearts a little bit of discernment and say, do I embrace God's mission? Dear friends, we are called to the world to say your money cannot save you. Your reputation is not going to save you. Your family is not going to save you. Your wife is not going to save you. Your husband is not going to save you. Christ is going to save you. What this world needs, it's the gospel. real justice, real love, real hope. What is the mission of the church? Preach the gospel to everyone. Preach the gospel to all people, all kind of people with different backgrounds, with different kind of education, with different kind of financial situation. And this is the first principle of the kingdom of God. Here, there's no discrimination. Here, it's everyone is welcome. Everyone that says, I need you, Jesus, I'm a sinner, it's welcome to come and sit down to this kingdom. Number two, the nature of the church. Again, I will reply again, all kind of fish. The gospel scoops all kind of people, rich and poor, old and young, educated or uneducated, people that is hurt or it's happy, black and white, the healthy and sick, single or married, CEOs or soccer moms. The church, it's always been like that. From the times of Jesus, from today. The church is for everyone, not from one person. And let me give you a little bit of an illustration. You know, I moved 2 years and a half ago, and I love this beautiful country. My wife and I, we always actually pray and say, thank you, Lord, because we love the United States. We really love this country. But sometimes, in our experience with church, there's a little bit of culture when you talk with people, when you talk with people that they consider Christians. Sometimes I talk with my wife and I even discuss with friends like, yes, there's a little bit of people that they believe that that American culture are the owners of the gospel. That we are the owners of Christianity. And please don't misunderstand me. United States plays a big role in the spread of the gospel around the world. That's true. But dear friends, it's saying all kind of fish, all kind of people. That means that Weiser Lake is just not for one kind of person, one social class. It's for everyone. And verse 48 and 49 describe a little bit the nature of this church. Everyone is welcome, but also Jesus said this. When it's full, the net, the fishermen pull it up on the shore. Then they sit down and collect the good fish in basket, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of age. The angels will come and separate the weak from the righteous. What Jesus is saying, like literally, it's like, yes, in this kingdom, everyone is welcome. But also, in one day, in the final day, I will separate the evil from the righteousness, the good one or the fake one, the real Christian or the one that he said that it was a Christian, but it was not real Christian. So the kingdom is for all people, but some of them, in the final day, in the day of judgment, they will be rejected by his hypocrisy. And that's the point of Jesus with their Pharisees. They said, you know a lot of the Bible. You know a lot about the scripture. You are a teacher of the law, and you're supposed to welcome me. You are supposed to know about me, but you're rejecting me. And what Jesus is saying to disciples is, don't be like the Pharisees. Because these people, they truly believe that they are believers. Well, they aren't. They are not believers. So what Jesus is saying through this parable is that there's true believers and false converts, false believers, real and fake. Some people will join our churches, some people will confess in our churches, but they will not show true signs of repentance and faith. Dear friends, this is not new. The churches, it's always been like that. We welcome the people to our churches. We never know what happened inside the hearts of people in the visible church. Let me give you an example. My wife always needs to travel once a month to other places. So when I take her to the airport, she says, David, behave well. And I say, I always behave well. And she says, I don't know. And I say, but God knows. And my wife replied, exactly. Dear friends, my wife doesn't know what I'm doing when she's gone, when she's traveling. Many of people up here, we love each other. We really love each other. I feel very loved by you, actually. But sometimes you never know what is in the heart of people. If they really love Jesus, if they really love the scripture, if they really love to be Christians. And this parable is saying that there's always a mix between true believers and false believers. And we are going to discover that until the end. Why am I saying this? Because for you, if you're a young people here, there is a new wave of people that say, I don't want to belong to church because there's full of hypocrites. Let me tell you something. It's always been like that. It's always been that. I'm the first one. I am the first one. In the church, there's always been people that they confess Christ and they're struggling to actually connect their faith with the reality of the world. Dear friends, Jesus is saying, of course, the church is always a mix of people, true believers and false believers. They don't need to be a surprise when there's a scandal in the church. It's not a surprise when someone messes it up. It's not a surprise when a pastor falls. It's not a surprise when someone in the church just leaves the church and never come again. Because there's always been people like that. And that need to humble our own hearts to say, do I am one of those? Do I am one of those that I just embrace Christianity as tradition and story and history, or because my parents, or I really pray, I really go to the scriptures, I really go to Jesus, I remind myself the gospel, I put all my hope in Christ. Dear friends, I am the chief of that group. I am the chief of that group that every single day I need to remind her, like, oh Lord, sorry. I forgot that day that I was a Christian. I was driving the other day, and for some minute, I forgot that I was a Christian. Dear friends, don't leave the church when something bad is happening. Don't leave the church when there is a hard situation. Don't leave the church when someone hurt you. Don't leave the church when you receive an advice that you didn't like. Don't leave the church when there's a hard situation. It's always been the same. From the early church, from today, we always are struggling to say, I want to be a real Christian. So this is the nature of the church. The church is holy. But the church is holy because Christ, not because me. I'm a sinner. The church is perfect, but it's perfect because it's approved by God. God loves the church. I don't love so many times. I struggle to love. I struggle to be patient. The church is perfect because God, not because me. I am the sinner. God created the church, but are sinners that are running the church. And this parable is a reminder to say, yes, yes, Peter, yes, Matthew, yes, Luke, you're going to spread the gospel, and your responsibility is to preach to everyone. Yes, there will be a time that me, the Lord, is going to discern, and I will separate the real Christians with the fake one. And this is the nature of the church. We are sinners. We need Christ. We need God. And this is a call for you to be patient. Be patient with the church. Be patient with your elders. Be patient with your pastor. Be patient even with me, I confess. I'm not close even to be perfect. So number one, the mission of the church, called to spread the gospel, throw the net to the world. Number two, the nature of the church. We are sinners, but God is building his church. But number three, the destiny of the church. Verse 50, and I will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dear friends, when we preach the gospel, we will not need to choose who is the person, who is the background of this person. Is this guy attend school or college or not? But in the final day, in the final judgment, God will make the difference. And this difference is not about money. It's not about melatonin. This is not about color. This is not about status. This is not about reputation. This is about your heart. This is about if you truly repent and believe in the gospel. If you are here and you are a new believer, let me tell you, this is the perfect opportunity to once again and again every single day reconsider and say, yes, every single day I need to repent. As Tim Keller said, the Christian life, it's a life of confession and repentance. Every single day I need to repent. Every single day I need to confess. Every single day I need to go to Christ. But maybe you are here this morning and say, yep, I have 65 years old of Christian. And I don't pray anymore. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore about my faith. I go to church just because tradition, just because it's Sunday. This is a call for you to reconsider your faith. God is going to discern the true hearts. And maybe your heart is hidden from people, but not from God. God knows. God is watching. Maybe my wife is not watching when she's for travel. She's traveling, but God is looking. God is there. God is there. So this is a sober warning to the disciples, the visible church. We need to just reconsider again and again every single day. One day I will be face to face with Jesus. And people will know, and God will know, and I will be exposed. This is a call to understand, dear friends, that hell is real. Heaven is real. Our hope in Christ should be real. But friends, this is something that I need to say. There's a place of safety. And that place for you is the cross. That's the safety place for you. That's a safety place for all Christians that we are struggling, that we mess it up every single day, that we fail to love our wives, that we fail to love our children, that we fail in our workplace, that we fail to use our times faithful to God. This is a call to go to the cross and put all our sinful nature and say, Jesus, here I am. Here I am. I need you. Dear friends, just the gospel can be the medicine to fix this world. Just the gospel can be the only way that we can transform our communities, our cities, our families, our political views. This is a call to you to understand that Jesus Christ is not calling you to embrace like a physical and real kingdom here in this side of eternity, but actually look the cross and say, this is the real kingdom that I want to love. I want to belong to the kingdom of love. God loves everyone. My mission is to be the church. I need to discern my own heart. Do I belong to this kingdom or not? Because heaven is real. Hell is real. But our hope is real. Once again, this week was terrible. I think that many of you, they're still like feeling like this stomach, like pain, like what is happening? Why this happened to this guy? Why someone lose her husband? Why they kill people? And I confess that even for me, it was a little bit difficult to focus in my daily activities, talking with my wife, with my friends, with my church. But this parable, the parable of the net, it's a call to cheer up. The world, it's always falling apart, but the kingdom of God, it's always moving forward. God is bringing people, and God is using you like a soldier to spread the gospel around the world. Dear friends, this is a call for you to say, I want to go with my neighbors and say to them that Jesus loved them. This is a call for you to pray and say, Jesus, I am the one that makes the church difficult. Jesus, I am the one that creates problems in my local church. But dear Jesus, this is the perfect time to say, wow, you are coming again. I need you. So our call is to be the church, light of the world. Cast the net. Speak of Christ. Make disciples every single day. You and I, we need to move toward the gospel. If the gospel is not hope, let me tell you this, and this is the warning of this parable. A president is going to fail you. A politician is going to fail you. A political view is going to fail you. Money is going to fail you. A girl is going to fail you. A guy is going to fail you. My wife can say, yep, you failed so many times, David. Of course. But Jesus doesn't fail me. He's faithful. Jesus is giving a description to his disciples about his kingdom. And Jesus is saying, in this kingdom, the King, God, the Father, is patient. It's love. It's mercy. But it's also justice. And one day God is going to make justice, real justice. So this needs to be our hope in our daily life. I have Jesus. I will be fine. My family is going to be fine. I want to follow him. The same call that Jesus is giving to his disciples in that moment is the same call for you. Follow him. Spread the gospel. Throw the net. Invite people to church. Trust in him. Discern your own heart. Do I am really a member of this kingdom? And friends, you are welcome always to go to the cross. Confess and say, here I am, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, because through the parable of the net, you described your kingdom as a kingdom that is welcome with to people. That we can go and we can belong and we can trust that you are a merciful king, you are a patient king, but also you make justice. Thank you, Lord, because you are calling your church to multiply, to make disciples, to spread the gospel to all creatures, to all people, in Linden, in Weiser Lake, in Ferndale, in Whatcom County. Thank you, Lord, because this is a privilege that you are using your church. Let us never forget that we are loved by you, accepted by you, and that the cross is our hope, a real, real hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sorry, David, I didn't give you precise instructions on that. Let's, at this time, sing in response, Rejoice, the Lord is King, hymn 209. 309, okay. Thanks, Karen. It says 209. It's 309. Privileges that we have in worship, having heard God's word, we confess our faith together. And it's a very appropriate question at this time. The kingship of Christ. How does Christ execute the office of a king?
Christ executeth the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and conquering all his enemies.
Hear this word of benediction from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.